All right, let's get this party started. Oh shit, I forgot to do my homework. Okay, well, it's fine. We'll do it during the show. We don't have the audio feed into this from the computer, right? Nope. That's fine. We don't have time for that. We'll do it next time. We'll get it set up. We'll figure it out. What up, y'all? Yes, you are correct. There was no podcast Wednesday and Friday of last week or yesterday, Monday. I am mind-fucking-blowingly busy with shit that I get paid money for. Namely, having sex. I wish. I'm still trying to crack that getting paid for sex thing. It's just not working out for me. Damn it. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely third possibility, you are wrong, and I am right. The thing is, too much longer now, two more years, and it will not be Obama's cock in your ass. It will be Hillary Clinton's cock in your ass. I am the great one himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, and this is Stating the Obvious Podcast, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers. Stupid fucking filthy, nasty, little fucking scumbag, selfish fucking hate-filled statist all around the planet. They fucking die when they hear the words of wisdom. They fucking get their fucking little panties all in a goddamn wad. They start screaming about racism and sexism and homophobia and how I hate the children and how I hate women. And all the while, all these fucking statists are supporting the governments that murder people. Yes, because remember, when Hussein Obama murders a motherfucker in a foreign country for having brown skin with a flying robot, well, he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. And if you disagree with him, well, you must hate black people. Oh yes, you motherfucking statist, you're so goddamn intelligent. I fucking despise you little cocksucking fuckers in all of your goddamn forms. Fucking every goddamn one of you. Alright, I got a lot I want to get through. We know how that goes, because we all know that I'm not long-winded, I never go off topic, and I'm always succinct and to the point. And I need to talk about how awesome I am. Also, the rest of this week and next week, probably it's just going to be repeats. It maybe not. We'll see what happens. But like, there's a lot going on. Or this is a good opportunity. I might be doing some anarchy moments just if things pop into my head. Speaking of pop, my pop filter is a little dirty. I had to clean that off. All right, so here I am. I got a shot glass full of Jack Daniels, which I am sipping on, not doing a shot. I went drinking with this friend of mine on the weekend. She's like, let's do shots. I was like, oh, fuck, man, are you trying to kill me? Christ, girl. So, we did a shot. It damn near killed me. It's not like in the olden days when I walked uphill to get to alcohol when I could fucking drink a lot. God, I used to be able to put down some fucking alcohol. Now I'm all old and I'm fucking soft and I'm a lightweight. I mean, dude, one shot of tequila, I'm under the fucking table. Which is okay. I mean, I'm all right with that. I'm a cheap date. It's not a big deal. So yeah, one shot of tequila and I will put out. Actually, one shot of tequila and I can't get my dick hard enough to put out. Because, whoa! Because I'm a lightweight. And that's me dropping shit on the floor. All right. Yes. Let me get on with it. God. The email address is God. That's dog spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSOC.com. There's somebody out there. You sent me a couple of links to some stuff on YouTube. Sorry, I don't remember your name. I have the email open right now. I got it. I will check it out. I'll get back to you. Thank you for the linkage. Somebody else on Twitter sent me a link to something global warming related. I will check it out. I tweeted back at you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I always appreciate people sending me things that they think I should look at. So thanks a lot. Whether you're sending me something you think I'm going to drink, yeah. If you send me something you think I will agree with, because you agree with me, that's great. And if you're someone who disagrees with me and you've got a link that you think refutes my points or whatever, send it on. I'm not a statist. I am not afraid to confront ideas and thoughts that are different than mine. Because as I talked about a while back in a podcast, as an anarcho-capitalist, we have been in our lives more wrong than anyone else. Because for large portions of our lives, every anarcho-capitalist was a fucking statist. And for us to become ANCAPs, we had to reject a whole fucking shit ton of incorrect worldviews that we had. And that is why we are the superior species as anarcho-capitalists, as opposed to those of you who are statist. It's because we have been able to see the bullshit in our own belief systems, in our own worldviews, in the way we have framed everything that has come to us, the context we've put it in, and the content and what it means and everything else. We have been able to see that almost everything we thought to be true at one point in our lives is complete bullshit. And it is by virtue of having been wrong that much and being able to recognize that we are wrong, that is what has allowed us to transcend the stupidity that is statism. And that's why you can't transcend the stupidity of statism, because you are incapable of admitting that you are wrong about things. So if you've got some information that you think is going to, you know, put me in my place and show me that I'm wrong about what I think and all this other shit, motherfucking bring it on. Send it to me. I'll check it out. And you know what? On the off chance that some bullshit you send me about how Obama is the fucking Messiah and how, of course, the government can kill people because, like, if the government doesn't fucking kill people and put them in cages and collect income taxes, well, then who's going to build the roads? Oh, my God, I didn't even talk about that. I need to talk about income taxes. But, okay, how many of you, yes, I know this is not on the notes. Calm your ass down. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. She's on the other side of the glass. She's reminding me this is not on the agenda that we have set. As I said, I never go off topic. My God, in the fucking taxes this year, the fucking thing where you figure out if you're exempt from Obamacare or where you figure out how much of a penalty you have to pay if you don't have Obamacare. Has anyone tried to do that form? Like, what the fuck? Right, look. And again, this illustrates something I always said. The income tax system, the IRS, the tax, none of this has anything to do with generating revenue for the government. Those of you stupid fucking statist cocksucking pieces of shit who should be extinct if evolution were not being circumvented by the state. Those of you who believe that the income tax is about raising revenue, it's not. Okay, if the income tax were about raising revenue, it would just be, bam, you have a form. It's a, how much money did you make this year? You write it down. It's like, okay, what is 10% of that number? Bam, you write it down. That's how much money you owe. All of these weird convolutions of take this number and subtract that number. Now multiply it by the factor which is found on table 7 based on your income. Now take that and divide it by this. Now subtract that. Now multiply that by 0.537. Now, I mean, what in the fuck is all? Holy shit, I just sat down and tried to do that form. And it's like, what the fuck does any of this mean? The income tax system, as I've said before, is a way to manipulate people's behavior. What do you want people to do? You want them to buy houses. So you give them tax breaks for buying a house. What do you want people to do? You want people to reproduce so that the government has more tax cattle. So what do? You give them a tax break for having children. Even though people with children consume more resources that are provided by the government, like food stamps, WIC, all this other shit, than people who don't have children, but you take the people who have children and consume the most resources and you give them a fucking tax break, and you make people who don't have children subsidize the fucking breeders and their filthy little spawn. Right? That's what the tax code system is. The tax code system is designed to manipulate people's behavior. Just like when we're going to do a sin tax on cigarettes. Well, the reason they're raising taxes on cigarettes isn't to make money. The reason they're raising taxes on cigarettes is because they're trying to control your behavior. They're trying to make people stop smoking cigarettes. The tax system in this country is 100% about behavior control. It has not a fucking thing to do with raising revenue, and that has not a fucking thing to do with anything on the agenda. Where I'm already going to blow it. I'm not going to make it. We know this. We knew this when we started, didn't we, Randy? Okay. I just have to fucking do the research right now. This is going to suck. I should have done this ahead of time. Cleveland, Ohio, March 18th, 2015.
We should be making it easier to vote.
That's what he's saying. He's such a great speaker.
I've said that publicly before.
Right, he said that publicly because he's the Messiah.
Justice Department is going to be vigorous in terms of trying to enforce voting rights.
They're going to enforce voting rights. You don't have a right to vote.
For me,
voting is a way of enslaving other people. Voting is mob rules.
In this day and age, we would be deliberately trying to restrict the franchise. Makes no sense. And
who's deliberately trying to restrict the franchise?
We push back against that and make sure that we're expanding the franchise, not
expanding the voting. Yes, because you see, if more stupid people vote, there it is, mandatory voting.
It would be transformative.
It would be transformative if everybody voted.
That would counteract money more than anything.
That is what your Lord and Savior just said. Now, here we go. This, worship me. I am the great one. I am right. I am always right. Go to the website, cynlibsoc.com, on the interwebs. Click on the tab that says predictions. Right here it is. Where is it? Stating the obvious. 114. I predicted two things. The first one was that the government will eventually kill me for talking about freedom. The second thing I predicted, the government will make voting mandatory. Now, of course, Obama hasn't said he wants to pass a law making voting mandatory, but he has floated the idea because this is going to counteract money. Somehow, this is the giant flaw of democracy. The idea that if you just have more and more stupid people voting, it's going to give you a better outcome. Now, why is Obama floating the idea of mandatory voting? Well, for the same reason that many years ago the Democrat Party floated the idea of lowering the voting age to 16. Because the Democrats believe that if you lower the voting age, or if you force everyone to vote, it will result in more votes for them. Because if you have people that are 16 years old and 17 years old, these are people with no life experience, no understanding of math, no understanding of economics, they've never had a job, they've been parasites for their entire life. These people are going to vote Democrat almost exclusively. It's the same thing with mandatory voting. So right now, there's this, you know, Obama's putting this out because there's all these people that don't vote. Well, who is it that doesn't vote? I mean, how hard is it to register to vote? Right? The ballot shows up in the fucking mail. You mail it back. The fucking post office brings the goddamn ballot to you. All you have to do is fill it out and mail it in. Right? I mean, yes, there's those people out there who are so stupid they accidentally voted for Patrick Buchanan down in Florida. We should just fucking nuke Florida. The best thing about global warming, which doesn't really exist, but if it did exist, would be the part where it floods Florida and Florida goes underwater and hopefully takes all the fucking old people down there with it. Okay? Who is it that doesn't vote but wants to vote? Well, stupid people. Because if you're, I mean, how fucking stupid can you be that you can't figure out how to vote? In the United States of America right now. Presidential election comes every 4 years. If you want to vote and you weren't able to vote this election, the previous presidential election, right? It came and it went and you weren't able to vote because you couldn't figure out how. You've got 4 fucking years to figure out how to vote. Not only that, but if you want to vote, I guarantee you, whatever party you're going to vote for, the Republicans or the Democrats, just call somebody who's a Republican or a Democrat and say, hey, I want to vote Republican or I want to vote Democrat in the next presidential election. Can you help me figure out how to vote? Because I'm too fucking stupid to figure out how to vote. They will fucking fall all over themselves to help you figure out how to vote. So who are the people who aren't voting? They are either people like me who recognize voting as violence and don't give a fuck. And if you force me to vote, I'm just going to write in, you know, whatever. I'm going to write in Thomas Jefferson or George Clooney or Taylor Swift. Dude, they force us to vote. I'm going to start a campaign. Everybody vote for Taylor Swift as president. It's either people like me who don't give a fuck and aren't going to take it seriously and are going to use the ballot to wipe their ass. For those of you who have seen the picture around the CLS website of that ballot with Obama, Romney, and that brown stain on it, that is actually shit from my asshole. I took my presidential ballot and I wiped my ass with it after taking a shit and took the picture of it, and that's what you're seeing. That is not fake shit. That's not peanut butter or something. That is actual shit from my ass. That is what Obama and Romney, your motherfucking messiahs, mean to me. I wipe my ass with your fucking democracy. The other people who don't vote are simply people who are too fucking stupid or lazy to vote. And why is a Democrat floating the idea of mandatory voting? Because Obama knows that people that stupid and that lazy are on welfare. I guarantee you they're on food stamps. If we could somehow get a demographic snapshot of people who don't vote, I guarantee you there are very few, there's going to be some, but the number of Democrats, and I guess we can't call them, if they don't vote, we can't really say they're Democrats or Republicans, because you know, this is one of those things. When you say somebody's a Democrat or a Republican, what does that mean? Does that mean they're a member of a party, or does it mean they vote that way? It could be either of those. But somebody who doesn't vote probably is not the member of a political party. So I can't really say they're Democrats or Republicans. What I can say is, if we could get a snapshot of the people who don't vote, I guarantee you over 50% of them are poor. Over 50% of them are parasites on the taxpayers. That, I can guarantee you, is true. And that's why Obama is floating mandatory voting, because he knows it will be more votes for the Democrat Party, because most of the people pulled into the system by this, by any mechanism that forces you to vote, will be poor people who are dependent on the government for everything they have and will therefore vote Democrat, because rightly or wrongly, the Democrats are perceived as the political party that hands out welfare and hands out Social Security and all this other stuff, even though, of course, as we've talked, you know, under Republic, what is it, the numbers have shown that the highest welfare spending happens with a Republican president and a Democrat Congress, and even though anybody who knows how numbers work knows that welfare spending actually went up under Ronald Reagan, not down. And so, of course, the Republicans try to posture themselves as the party that's going to cut social welfare spending, but we know this is complete bullshit. They don't. They never have. They never will. Just as the Democrats are always like, well, yeah, we're anti-war and we're going to cut defense. And pretty fucking sure that, you know, Obama's still got a war going on in Afghanistan. So if Democrats are not anti-war, Republicans are not anti-welfare. These are just lies they tell you, and these are misconceptions that those of you who are statist have in your tiny little filthy brains. And again, this is why I said, as anarcho-capitalists, we are superior to you because we have been able to see through these lies and recognize that it doesn't matter who the fuck you elect, you still get more spending. You get more military spending, and you get more motherfucking welfare spending. How in fuck's name, when Bill Clinton was president, they paid down the deficit? I have no clue how that happened. And here we are, $16 trillion. It's like, what the fuck? Fucking Obama got us there. Yes, Bush started it. Bush started the bailouts. He started the deficit. He started the war. Obama jumped right in, picked it up, and carried it. Let me quickly play the rest of Obama's nasty, filthy little mouth-moving speech here.
If everybody voted.
If everybody voted.
Then it would completely change the political map of this country.
It would change the political map of the country.
Not to vote are young.
Young?
They're
the people, so he's saying it right now, the people who don't vote are young. Okay, who do young people vote for? Democrats, because they're stupid. Because the young people are stupid. They don't know math. They don't understand economics. They've never had jobs. They haven't gotten that thing where they have to spend thousands of dollars to the IRS to pay their taxes. They're still receiving benefits from mommy and daddy. They're getting student loans. They're getting government support. They're getting student discounts. They're parasites. They are fucking parasites. They're going to vote Democrat. And Obama said that if we had mandatory voting, it would transform the political map. Well, no, it wouldn't, because the political map in the United States is that you can elect either a Republican or a Democrat. Those are your options. Republican or Democrat. That's what you get. Yeah, I know, in a couple of local elections, sometimes a Green Party or a Liberty Party or a Libertarian Party or a Communist Party person will win the election. Right? As I've said before, I would rather have a government that has, as much as I despise the Communists and the Greens, well, all right, not the Greens, but the Communists, at least the members of the Communist Party of the United States are fucking honest about who and what they are. I do give them that credit. They're wrong. I believe they're absolutely wrong. But unlike the Greens, who are communist, hiding behind the environment, and unlike the Republicans and the Democrats, who are just fucking filthy pieces of scum that should be exterminated, the Communist Party, like the Nazi Party, they are at least honest about their beliefs. And I can respect them for that. I disagree with them, obviously. But I can respect them for just having the fucking integrity to say what they honestly believe and say, yes, we believe that, you know, we are the communists. We believe that nobody should have private property. And if you have private property, it should be taken away from you by men with guns. Okay, you're completely wrong, but at least you've got the fucking integrity to say it. I always try to give credit where credit is due on this podcast. Ooh, that was me taking a sip of Jack Daniels. Oh, holy shit, dog. Ooh, it's a big sip. All right, let me get back to the Messiah. Oh, wait, hang on just one second. Oh, God. All right, whatever. It's work-related emails rolling in. All right, let me get back to Obama's speech. So, who is it that doesn't vote? It's the young people. Let us continue with his little list here.
Lower income.
Lower income. Who are they going to vote for?
More heavily towards immigrant groups and minority groups.
Immigrants and minorities. So again, here's the thing. Who doesn't vote? Well, it's those immigrants and minorities and poor people, because they're just not smart enough to figure out, and young people, all the people not smart enough to figure out how to vote. Actually, I think the immigrants aren't voting because, for a lot of them, they're leaving where they were for greater opportunity. And I suspect many of them recognize that opportunity isn't something you get from the government. Because immigrants are coming here from other countries that have even more oppressive governments than we have. Like, for example, the guy I've talked about many times in the past on this podcast that used to work for me, who is from Vietnam. And he was there during the Vietnam War, and he's still wanted by the communist government of Vietnam. They've tried to get him to come back to Vietnam by tricking him, by misleading him, because they want to kill him. And I've told that whole story. I'm not going into it now. He understands that success doesn't come from the government. He came from a country where it has a communist government that owns everything, that owns the people, that controls your life. He gets it. He does not vote in order to get more motherfucking welfare benefits, because he's not on welfare. He's making money. He's got three kids, college educated, engineers, all three of them, good jobs. He understands where wealth and freedom and security and prosperity come from, and it doesn't come from the government. He doesn't vote because he knows voting will do him no fucking good. That's why I think many, not all, many immigrants don't vote, because they also understand that. They've come from a place where they've seen the government trying to fix things, make things better, yada, yada, yada. They know it doesn't work. The other thing is the minorities, again, you know, well, minorities don't vote. They're going to vote for Democrat. All right. Obama says, oh.
They're often the folks who are, they're scratching and climbing.
These are the folks who are scratching. So these folks, according to Obama, are scratching and climbing and working hard to get into the middle class. Really? How many people? I'd love to see some numbers on this. I don't have the numbers. I don't know what they are. Again, this is the thing. See, I could be wrong about what I'm about to say. This is the difference between me and you fucking filthy statist, is that you're incapable of understanding that you could be wrong about something because you're so blinded by your love for Obama or Crispy Chris. What's his name? Chris Isn't it Chris? I don't even know. Who's the fucking Republicans that people worship nowadays? Rand Paul. Rand Paul is hot. Not sexually hot. I wouldn't do him. I'm sure somebody out there would. But, I mean, you people who are Republicans, you're so fucking blind. Okay. I'd love to see some numbers about how many people on welfare actually get off of welfare. I'd love to see those fucking numbers. And if they're scratching and clawing, it's because the economy sucks. And if the economy sucks, and if all you statists believe that the government, specifically the president of the United States, can control the economy, right? I mean, Obama's going to fix the economy. Oh, the jobs are getting better. Well, if the jobs are getting better, if there's more jobs, and if the economy is so great, why are these people clawing and scratching? It amazes me how left-wing statists are constantly whining about the poor and how all the people are poor and there's all these poor people, yet at the same time they need to, Obama's created so many jobs. Well, if Obama's created so many jobs and he saved the economy, why are there all these poor people?
There's a reason why some folks try to keep them away from the polls. Would you want to get them into the polls?
There's a reason why some people
that may end up being a better strategy.
Try to keep these non-voters away from the poll. Who is trying to keep the non-voters away from voting? What is the name of this person who's out there trying to stop people who don't vote from voting? And why exactly do you need to stop people who don't vote from voting? They're already not voting. Right, it's like me going out and seeing some girl in the street and going, hey, you're not having sex with me. I'm going to prevent you from having sex with me. Well, she's already not having sex with me. Why would I prevent her from having sex with me? So there's these people out there. We don't know who they are because Obama won't name them. Obama is only the most powerful man on the entire planet Earth. But he's scared to name these people. But there are these nameless people, I'm sure they're the heterosexual white men with jobs like me, who are trying to prevent these poor people from voting. I mean, what? Ooh, hold on. College girl. Yes, that is delicious. Nice legs. All right, There's these evil heterosexual white men with jobs who are trying to prevent these poor people from voting. Oh my God, it's Obama to the rescue. So there it is. While my prediction isn't completely come true, mandatory voting has not been created yet. The idea has been floated. I am the motherfucking shit. Meanwhile, other predictions. How many times have I made this prediction? The first time I have it listed is in stating the obvious 110. I predict that the Messiah, Hussein Obama, will win re-election in 2012 and Hillary Clinton will be the next president after the Messiah. Is anybody surprised? Some people are surprised. I don't know what planet these people are from. Hillary Clinton has... Whoa, that's loud. Hillary Clinton has announced she's running for president. And now we have Getting Started by Hillary Clinton on her YouTube channel. It's right here. And her tomatoes are legendary. So we've got this single mother with her daughter. She's getting ready. Now, I love this. Okay, so also we've got the Hillary Clinton logo has been revealed. I will get to work on creating the Cynical Libertarian Society version of the Hillary Clinton logo. I'm excited about that. So we've got this video, this propaganda video, 2 minutes 18 seconds that Hillary Clinton put out of all these people who are getting ready. They're getting started. They're doing new things. And of course, we've got all of the fucking stereotypes are in here. We've got every fucking minority group. We got the homosexuals. We got the fucking every fucking skin color. We got the token white man with a job. Like, almost nobody in this video has a job except for the two immigrant brothers who are starting a restaurant and the white man. Nobody else in this video is shown in any context of having a job. because of course all the women are either retired or they're dependent on the government or they get alimony checks. But the beautiful, it starts off with this woman, obviously a single woman. We never see a father appear anywhere, and she's got her daughter. And this woman says she's getting started. She's moving to a new neighborhood because her daughter is going to go to school, and she wants her daughter to go to a better school. So what you're saying is the school in your neighborhood where you live now, the publicly run school, the government run school, sucks balls. You're saying the school in your current neighborhood is a giant piece of shit, so you're going to move, because you're getting welfare and WIC and food stamps and all this other stuff and you can afford this, you're going to move to a different neighborhood so that your daughter can get a better education, but all the kids who are currently going to this shitty school that's not good enough for your daughter, fuck them, right? And that's democracy, my friends. That is democracy. When people say democracy, you anarcho-capitalists are selfish. Okay, I would say selfish is moving to another neighborhood so your daughter can have a better school instead of fixing the school in your neighborhood so that all the children attending that school could have a better school. But it's a government school. You can't fix it. It's a goddamn fucking joke. So anyway, and all these videos, there'll be lots of links in the show notes. But here it is, the Hillary Clinton propaganda video. My brother and I are starting our first business. Here we have another woman. There's her kid. I'm waiting. She's been raising her kid. Now she's going back to work. No husband anywhere in sight. Another single mother. Now, of course, here we have two. Here we have a man and a woman. Married. She's pregnant. But, of course, they're black. We can't show white people in a nuclear family. Oh, and here we're getting married. This is the two men. They're getting married. Oh, it's so wonderful. Okay, and here's the little boy. He's going to be a... Oh, and then here's the fat woman. She's going to retire. She's working. She's got a government job. Oh, here we got some home renovations. Oh, their dog eats out of the trash can. Yeah, that's wonderful. Kind of reminds me of politicians. Here's the token white man with a job. It's a fifth generation company. The government will be taking that from you soon. Mm-hmm. Feels good to be a slave. And there's Hillary Clinton. I'm running for president. We're shocked, Hillary. Shocked. Yes. Oh, the deck. The deck. So Obama's been president for 6 fucking years. We still have economic hard times, and the deck is still stacked in favor of the people at the top. Well, wait. So if the deck was stacked in favor of the people at the top, and Obama was elected to fix that because George Bush made it that way. Obama hadn't done jack shit in 6 years, is what Hillary's saying to us. Do you think Hillary's going to fix it? I bet she's not. Bet you she's not. Here we go. Let's play this. She wants to be your champion. Oh, yeah. You're going to get ahead. Oh, when families are strong, and as she's saying, when families are strong, America is strong, we show these clips of these single mothers with their children, with not a man in sight, okay? But, oh, your family is strong. What Hillary Clinton means is when your family is on welfare, WIC, food stamps, when you're a single woman, completely dependent on the government, you will continue to vote for more welfare, and that is her version of strength. Yep. More homosexuals, more laughing children, more laughing people, token white man with a job, the immigrant brothers who are starting a business. Ah, yes, it's Hillary for America. HillaryClinton.com. She's hitting the road. She's hitting the road to earn your vote, and this is your time, and she wants you to join her on the journey. Oh my God, this bitch is fucking sick. Absolutely fucking nasty, disgusting, vile, sick, lying, giant, worthless piece of shit, and she will be president of the United States for 8 years after Hussein Obama. Those of you out there who are expecting the conspiracy where Hussein Obama becomes president for a third term? No. Obama has no desire to be president for a third term. Believe you me, ex-presidents have plenty of power, they have plenty of influence, and they have plenty of money. For those of you out there who are still waiting for Obama to overturn whatever amendment it was that limited the terms of the number of terms a president could be elected, it's not going to happen. Get over it. It's just like the birth certificate thing. No, we've still never seen a birth certificate, but nobody gives a fuck, so you just need to let go of it. It's the same thing with this. I know there's a bunch of you out there who think Obama is going to be president for life, but it's not going to happen. And Hillary, he's not good. Even if he tried that, you think Hillary Clinton would let Obama have a third term as president? Do you really think that? Here's another thought I want to toss out. Bill Clinton is president. Now his wife, Hillary, is running for president. Obama is president. Let me make a prediction, because I'm good at these. This is an official prediction. It will go on the prediction page. After the Messiah is no longer president, his wife will run for political office. Probably senator, just like Hillary did. If Michelle Obama is elected as a senator, she will at some point run for president. And she will be elected. Hands fucking down. Absolute. Hands down. Ooh, hold on. College girl.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Ooh, yes. Nothing like looking out the window of the studio and seeing college girls in bikinis. Fuck yes. Mm. All right, I need to focus. Where are we at on time, Randy? Shit. All right, let me see if I can get through all this stuff. So that's it. Michelle Obama, if she wins election as a senator, she will go on to run for president. If she runs for president, she will absolutely win. Because that's how fucking stupid you people are. You're really fucking stupid. Okay. Let me do this. That's great. All right, here we go. Let me blast through this stuff because I ain't got a lot of time left. First of all, where is it? God damn it. There it is. Got this from the Library Journal. I actually know where this takes place. It doesn't matter. Here's what they're advertising. Books for your LGBTQ audience. Join Bold Strokes Books and Riptide Publishing to hear about trends in the latest titles for patrons interested in LGBTQ materials. Hang on. All right, brace yourselves, because I'm going to move the microphone. If you have earbuds in, take them out for 5 seconds. Go, now. All right, there we go. I'm finished slamming the microphone around. You can come back. Romance, erotica, mystery, and fantasy. These publishers will cover the spectrum of hot upcoming titles for LGBTQ readers, KKK, from YA to adult, allowing you to stock your shelves with don't miss titles that patrons will clamor for. Once again, emphasizing the fact that as much as the LGBTQKKK group would like to pretend that they're just like everybody else, everything about them illustrates that they're not just like heterosexual people, because they have to have their own reading material. You know, another thing I thought of about the LGBTQKKK group that, ooh, damn, she just rolled up, that's a nice ass, that differentiates them. For those of you out there who use OkCupid, you may or may not know this. On OkCupid, if you indicate on your profile that you are homosexual, you can have your profile. For those of you who don't know what OkCupid is, it's a dating website where you create a profile and you meet people to go out with and have sex. If you're gay, you can choose to hide your profile from straight people. Yet, I noticed that as a straight person, there's not an option for me to hide my profile from gay people. So again, if you have privileges that I don't have, we're not equal. We're not equal. Okay, we are not equal. If my profile can be looked at by homosexuals, but your profile as a homosexual cannot be looked at by heterosexuals, you are not my equal. You are inferior. And if that hurts your fucking feelings, I don't give a shit, because it's true. And the truth is something that hurts people's fucking feelings. Here's one. And again, I'm gonna links to all this stuff. That what I just read was from an email I got. There will not be a link to that. Here we go. Fresh off attempting to rip off her former employer with a frivolous sexual discrimination lawsuit, Reddit CEO Ellen Pao has done it again. Pao made waves last week when she announced that Reddit would no longer allow potential hires to negotiate their salaries because salary negotiations unfairly privilege... Because salary negotiations unfairly privilege men over women. Now remember, my friends, women are strong and independent. Anything a man can do, a woman can do better. Women need men like fish need bicycles. Salary negotiations unfairly privilege men over women. Here's the quote. If you want more equality, we'll let you... If you want more equity, we'll let you swap a little bit of your cash salary for equity, but we aren't going to reward people who are better negotiators with more compensation, Powell said. We ask people what they think about diversity, and we did weed people out because of that, unquote. Thought police. So we have weeded out people because their opinions on diversity aren't the same as ours. Your opinion on diversity is not exactly the same as my opinion on diversity. Therefore, you will be eliminated. You will be, quote, weeded out. That's diversity. For a fucking femistatist, how many times have I said this? For the fucking nasty, filthy femistatist cunts, diversity means having exactly the same belief set, exactly the same worldview, exactly the same opinions that they have. And if your worldview is not identical to theirs, they will do what they have to do. You know, they'll accuse you of rape. They'll accuse you of sexism. They'll accuse you of... they'll do whatever they have to do to destroy you for not being exactly like they are. That is diversity. We're not going to reward people who are better negotiators. This is why Reddit is just... Reddit can suck a dick. We're not going to reward people who have better skills than people who have poor skills. Well, welcome to the world of failure. Here we go. Sexist Canadian feminist call other sexist. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the great part right here. The state. So apparently, I'm trying to scan this. Sorry, guys. It doesn't fucking matter. Somewhere in the government of California, Canada, I would like to issue an official apology to you. As much as I make fun of you, I did not mean to accidentally call you California. I'm very sorry for that. It was an accident, and it was really fucking insulting. I'm very sorry. Canada is not California. apparently in Canada, there's some kind of government cuts going on. Here's the only sentence you need to read from this. The Quebec Women's Foundation recently said that the cuts to the state affect women disproportionately because they make up 75% of personnel in public sector jobs. Now, of course, there's nobody upset that men are only 25% in public sector. Can you imagine if it was the other way, if men were 75% of the jobs and women only had 25% of public sector jobs? Can you imagine the screams of discrimination that would come from the fucking filthy femistatist? But now the femistatist cunts are opposed to cutting spending in the government of Canada because it will disproportionately affect women, because so many women... Why are there so many women working for the government? Oh, that's right. Because, hey, didn't I just do a podcast about how women shouldn't be in charge in jobs? And I have another one to do about that because it's gotten worse. There's more stuff to talk about. It's because there's all these women who can't get jobs in, I should say, femistatist. I guarantee you there's very few conservative or libertarian or anarcho-capitalist free market women in these government jobs. There's a bunch of fucking femistatists who couldn't get jobs in the public sector, in the private sector. Fucking Christ, I can't talk. They couldn't get real jobs in the free market because they have degrees in worthless shit like English and communications and ethnic studies. And so they end up working for the government where you basically don't have to do anything except just sit there and collect your fucking money. And now the fucking femistatists are pissed off because all these women are going to be affected. Well, hey, maybe if these women could get a fucking real job, maybe they had some real skills, they could create some real value for other people, they could work for themselves, they could work as freelancers, they could start their own businesses, they could get jobs as engineers or shit at corporations that pay them shit tons of money and give them all kinds of benefits. Maybe the little fucking feminist cunts could go on over to Reddit, and then they'll get the same amount of money as everybody else, even though they have no fucking negotiation skills, because women can't fucking communicate, even though women can't shut the fuck up about, oh, we're so good at communicating. If women are so good at fucking communicating, why can't you negotiate for your salary, bitch? All right. Sharp rise in under 11s seeking NHS transgender treatment. This is some sick shit. This is some fucking sick shit. When you talk about people who should be exterminated, and I do it all the time, and they're called statist, here are some people that should be exterminated. The number of children in the UK being referred to the NHS for transgender treatments has increased fourfold over the last 5 years. Britain's only centre specializing in gender issues saw the number of under 11s seeking consultation rise from 19 in 2009-10 to 77 in 2014-15. The Travis Stock and Portman NHS Trust said referrals included 47 children aged 5 and 2 under 3 years of age. 2 children under the age of 3 are being taken to the fucking government of England by their feminist parents to have their gender changed. Now, there is no way you can tell me 47 children under 5. There is no way in hell a fucking 3-year-old or a 5-year-old can sit there and fucking rationally decide, hey, I have a penis, but I'm really a girl. This is fucking feminist cunt. I don't even call them parents. These are breeders. These are not parents. There's no parenting going on here. These are fucking feminist cunt breeders who are trying to biologically, physically alter their children for the political agenda of the fucking breeder. These people do not give a fuck about their children. You taking your fucking 3-year-old, taking your fucking 3-year-old to the government and saying, I want you to chop my 3-year-old's cock off and give him a cunt because I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be a girl. That is some sick, sick. And again, if natural selection and evolution were allowed to run its course, these people would be dead. The only reason these fucking feminist cunts are alive is because the government is keeping them alive. They would be dead. Speaking of being dead, here we go. Yahoo News. Philadelphia. A mother abandoned her quadriplegic son in a wooded area of a Philadelphia park for nearly a week so she could visit her boyfriend in Maryland, police said. The 21-year-old disabled man was found by a passerby on Friday night, lying on leaves and covered by blankets, with his wheelchair and Bible nearby. The man had been abandoned in the woods, is unable to talk, and suffers from cerebral palsy. This woman, remember, if women ran the world, everything would be great, because women care about other people. Women are compassionate. Women care about the children. This woman left her son in the fucking park. Her fucking cerebral palsy afflicted, if that's the right word, son left him outside in the park so she could go to another state and get fucked by her boyfriend. My God, you fucking feminist cunts are the sickest fucking humans on the planet. You're fucking sick. This woman is sick. Again, evolution, natural selection, she would be dead. The government, her son has cerebral palsy. I guarantee fucking to you, she's getting government checks. She's getting welfare. She's getting fucking WIC benefits. She's getting food stamps. She's getting Social Security. She's got Medicare and Medicaid to take care of him. She could not exist without the state keeping her alive. She should be dead. Instead, she's taking another human being and leaving him outside in the park so she can go off and get fucked. Literally, get fucked so that a man can stick his cock inside of her. She has abandoned her child so that a man can put his cock inside of her. That is how fucking filthy and disgusting you goddamn feminists are. UK feminist ban clapping at conference because it triggers anxiety. And a National Union of Students Women's Union of Students. My God, you fucking college kids are so spoiled. This is another piece of beautiful shit from the United Kingdom. And Randy, just deal with it. We're going to go over. We'll play the music out. And then we're going to come back and we're going to finish this up. I don't bother with the other side. I'm always right. I was right about mandatory voting. I was right about Hillary Clinton running for president. I'm right about Michelle Hussein Obama being president if she wins a senatorial election. I'm right about feminists being giant fucking filthy pieces of shit. I am right. I'm right about evolution. I'm right about natural selection. Deal with it. My audience deserves a longer podcast since I didn't fucking release 2 days last week and this one is late. They deserve it. They do, Randy. Don't argue with me. They deserve it. I have the best audience out there. All three of them. Yeah, you're right. Let me check my email real quick. For work shit that's rolling in. Oh, fucking Christ, dog. God. Alright. Fucking hate having to work for a living. Why can't I get on? I gotta get on welfare. I need some fucking food stamps and some WIC. I also need that college girl out there in her bikini to come. Now, I wonder if she would, like, leave her child in the woods so that somebody could stick a cock inside of her. I should go ask her. That'd be, like, my new question when picking up girls. So, let's say that you had a son, who is 21 years old and he had cerebral palsy, would you abandon him in the woods so that you could go to another state and have a man stick a cock inside of you? Could any woman who answers yes to that, that's a woman you should fucking run away from. I guarantee you. Well, I don't know. She left him with a Bible, though. She might be Republican. You know, it's not only left-wing statists that are stupid, okay? We can be honest about that here. As much as I pick on the left-wing statist. What time is it? Oh, shit. I gotta go drink beer soon. The left-wing statists aren't the only stupid people. Right-wing statists are pretty fucking stupid, too. Okay, let's get back to this. The National Union of Students in U.S. Women's Conference. Can you imagine if the National Union of Students had a men's conference? Can you imagine how the fucking feminazis would just shit their panties? Anyway, conference in London this week, delegates were asked to refrain from applauding and use jazz hands instead. The request, which appeared on the Twitter feed at the Oxford University Student Union's Women's Campaign, fuck, I'm winded from trying to say that, was made because clapping was, quote, triggering anxiety, unquote, amongst some conference members. I wonder if the conference members who are getting anxiety from people doing this were all women. I bet they were. I bet it was all feminist. I shouldn't say women. Again, I always try to be clear, even when I'm not, because I'm speaking off the cuff. I don't have notes. I'm just fucking blabbering all over the place. Shouldn't say they were all women. They were all feminist. And remember, men can be femistatist, just like women. The same conference, this is hilarious. This is fucking hilarious. The same conference also passed a motion condemning drag and cross-dressing, while another motion attacked gay men who speak like black women. What the fuck? The whole pretentious spectacle was precipitated by a couple of tweets by the NUS Women's Campaign. First, this is the quote of the tweet, "Whooping is fun for some, but can be super inaccessible for others, so please try not to whoop. Jazz hands work just as well," unquote. It's not just inaccessible, it's super inaccessible. Inaccessible. I am so fucking sick. Oh, that's so super cute. Oh, that's super inaccessible. Oh, I'm so super awesome. It's like extreme. It's like the global warming wackos, right? Well, the weather is more extreme. Extreme doesn't mean anything. If you say to me, this hurricane had top winds at 100 miles an hour, this hurricane, the top winds were 120 miles an hour, that is quantified. That means something. The weather is more extreme. No, that means you're just a fucking idiot, okay? It's not inaccessible. It's super inaccessible. Is it wearing a little fucking cape or something? This is another reason you can't have a conversation with a statist, because I've talked about this a gazillion fucking times. Nebulous words. How they use words that don't fucking mean anything. It's super inaccessible. The fuck does that mean? It means nothing. It means you're a dumb fucking cunt. That's what it means. The next tweet says this. "Some delegates are requesting that we move to jazz hands rather than clapping, as it's triggering anxiety. Please be mindful." If people clapping their hands triggers anxiety, gosh, let me... Ooh, college girl is back. Ooh, damn, she's cute. What was I saying? Randy, what was I talking about? I saw a cute girl. Brain fucking just shut down. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad one of us is paying attention. God, that's why you're here. Well, that and because you're cute. And because you're not completely, well, actually you are a statist. For those of you new to the show, Randy is actually a conservative Republican. She is not an anarcho-capitalist. I forgot what I was saying, even though you just reminded me. Yes! Thank you. Fuck. Okay. if other people clapping their hands, if other people doing this triggers anxiety in you, if people doing this triggers your brain chemistry in such a way that you become less able to function, natural selection says you should be dead. Your DNA should be removed from the gene pool. All of the GP, statism could be completely fucking eliminated if we just had some natural fucking selection. Because it would only be anarcho-capitalist that would be left after about, what, 3 months? It would take about 3 months for all the people who can't survive without the state to protect them to die off. The next quote says this. The next Twitter quote. Jazz hands are used throughout in U.S. in place of clapping as a way to show appreciation of someone's point without interrupting or causing disturbance, as it can create anxiety. All of these fucking people, I have anxiety, I have ADHD, I'm so sensitive, I have super ADHD. Fucking Christ. Here's another quote from some stupid feminist cunt. LSESU, I don't know what that is and I don't care, Women's Officer Jen Linford Grayson, she has a hyphenated last name, you know she's a fucking feminist cunt, added, quote, "As someone who is new to the NUS conference culture, it surprised me at first, but actually within a few rounds of jazz hands applause, it began to make a lot of sense, as loud clapping and whooping can be intimidating and distracting when you're speaking on stage," unquote. Now, of course, remember, women have excellent communication skills, and they are strong and independent, and anything a man can do, I should say feminist. Anything a man can do, a feminist can do better. But if you clap or applaud or whoop while they're on stage giving a speech, they can get intimidated. But they're so strong and independent. But doing this intimidates them because they're so strong and independent. All right, now, these are feminists. These are fucking feminists. Remember, for those of you out there, all right, for those of you who are homosexual men and you think the feminists are your allies, you're stupider than fuck, okay? You are stupider than fuck. The feminist cunts are not your fucking allies. The feminists like homosexual men because they don't view you as being sexually threatening and because they need strong people to pick up heavy objects, because women are strong and independent, but they can't pick up a fucking heavy object. I'll talk about that next time I bitch about women in the workplace who can't fucking pick up heavy objects, yet they think they should be paid the same amount of money. All right, so listen to me, homosexual men. The fucking femistatist cunts are not your allies. They fucking hate you just as much as they hate heterosexual white men who have jobs. Okay? They fucking hate you. They just know they don't have to worry about you trying to stick your cock in them, and therefore they don't have to leave their 21-year-old sons laying around in a park while they go off to another state to get a cock stuck in them. Okay, that's the only reason they like you. To add to the lunacy, the NUS conference was also host to equally absurd motions condemning dressing in drag and telling gay white men to stop appropriating black women. The motion against drag was passed, the reasoning behind it being that, quote, "Transphobic fancy dress should be met with the same disdain with which we meet other prejudiced or appropriative costumes," unquote. Homosexual men who like to dress in drag, let me fucking explain something to you. There is only one group of people on the planet Earth that does not give a fuck how you dress. and that is anarcho-capitalist. You want to dress in drag? I can give a flying fuck. As long as you're not violating my property rights and as long as you're not initiating aggression against me, you dress however the fuck you want. Do I necessarily approve of it? I mean, not really, but I mean, not always. I've seen a lot of men in drag that, you know, and it doesn't bother me. And that, again, we're in the difference between tolerance and approval. I don't approve of it. I don't give a shit either. I have nothing. I'm completely fucking neutral on it. It's your fucking body. It's your clothes. As long as it doesn't involve aggression against me or taking my shit, you do what the fuck you want. Whatever you want, man. Anarcho-capitalists are the only people who are willing to let you dress the way you want. I promise you that's true. I fucking promise you. This is right here. The femi-fucking-statist cunts are fucking passing motions condemning the way you dress. These are not your allies. These fucking feminist, filthy ass, nasty, goddamn dried up cunt bags who leave their children in parks and who get welfare and who pay everybody the same because women have great communication skills, but we don't want to fucking reward people who have better communication skills and negotiate. These filthy fucking cunts, they're not your fucking allies. They're not. It required in U.S. events to ban cross-dressing, but only for cisgender participants. Drag will be tolerated, however, as an, quote, expression or exploration of queer identity, close quote. So how do you know the difference between somebody who is cisgendered and somebody who is expressing or exploring queer identity? I mean, how do you actually differentiate that? So I'm not expressing or exploring queer identity, but if I show up in a dress and then I could just say I'm expressing my queer identity. I mean, how do you know I'm lying? How exactly do they test for this so as to enforce it? Here is the second part of the motion, which was also passed. Quote, the appropriation of black women by white gay men is prevalent within the LGBTKKK scene and community. This may be manifested in the emulation of mannerisms, language, particularly AAVE African American Vernacular English, and phrases that can be attributed to black women. White gay men often assert they are, quote, strong black women, unquote, or have an, quote, inner black woman, unquote. It also turns out that not all oppressed minorities are equal as, here's another quote from the motion, white gay men are the dominant demographic within the LGBT community, and they benefit from both white privilege and male privilege. As I said, homosexual men, you see, you have white privilege and you have male privilege. The femi-statist cunts, they are not your allies. They are not your friends. They are not on your side. They are not going to help you. Taking a shot of Jack Daniels, hang on. With a chaser of water, because I'm hardcore, man. I'm hardcore. I'm so hardcore. By shot of Jack Daniels, I mean a little sip. I got a little sip of Jack Daniels and chased it with water. I'm hardcore, man. All right. There's a manga called Ghost in the Shell, which is really good, beautiful art. It's by an artist. I can't pronounce Japanese names, so I'm not even gonna try. Just go to Google, type in Ghost in the Shell. You'll find it. His art is fantastic. And there's a slew of TV and movies that have TV shows, series, and movies that have been made from it. And right now in my Netflix queue, I'm watching a number of those. And it's interesting. I said, it's great art, and the storylines are okay, but it's just interesting to me watching this. And I wonder if this is somehow indicative of Japanese culture in some way. Everything in the show is about the state. the people who are the center of the show, they are Section 9. They are this government organization that basically kills people. But in every episode, everything that happens is about the government. In every episode, the bad guy is always a government official. The good guy is always a government official. The conflicts are always between all these different branches and departments within the government trying to kill each other, and they're all stealing money and all this other stuff. And it's almost as if in this show, if you watch it, I shouldn't say citizens because that's a slave term. People who are not members of the government don't exist. The only time in this show people who aren't members of the government or are not government employees or are not elected politicians, the only time you see those people is in the background. All the characters are either politicians or government employees. And then, of course, there's a couple of corporate CEOs. And while the stories are fun and the shows are good and there's a lot of action and cool mecha and robots and people fighting and getting blown up and all this other stuff, it just oozes statism to the point where I thought this part was just fucking hilarious. This is what I want to come around and talk to. One of the characters got shot a number of times. He got shot up pretty bad. And he's in the hospital. And you know, it's that standard thing. You've seen it in every fucking cop show you've ever watched in your life, where the cop gets shot, but then he gets out of the hospital, and everyone's like, "Well, you're not ready. You still need to keep healing. You know, you were shot 3 days ago." And the cop is like, "No, I'm ready. I can handle it." You know, you've seen this in every fucking show. In this show, the guy who runs Section 9, so the cop who was shot comes out and he says, "Yep, I'm here, I'm ready to go." And the other cops are like, "Well, no, you're not ready to go. You just got shot. You need to stay in and rest." And the chief says, "He's ready to go. I filled out all the paperwork." Because if you're a statist, you believe that if you have a person who has been shot by bullets and they're unhealthy, if you fill out paperwork, they can become healthy again. I mean, they're really fun shows, but they absolutely fucking ooze. I mean, the statism, it really is kind of ruining it for me, how much statism there is in this shit. Everything is about the government. And on one hand, it's just like the real world, actually. The government, on the one hand, is pure and wonderful and cares about everybody. And on the other hand, the government is evil and murders people. There's another shot of Jack Daniels there. All right, what do I got on the list? I can save that one for when I talk about why women shouldn't be in the workplace. What do I got over here? All right, final topic. A while back, I did a podcast where I talked about women authors, and I talked specifically about a science fiction story I listened to. I'm pretty sure it was on the pod. Why am I having a brain cramp? There's Pseudopod, Podcastle, and Escape Pod. I'm pretty sure it was a science fiction story I heard on the Escape Pod podcast, which I still highly recommend. Escape Pod is great. There's another podcast, if you like stories, that I recommend. It's called the Drabblecast. Some of them are science fiction, a lot of them are horror, different stuff like that. It's a great, great podcast. It's at drabblecast.org. That's DRABBLECAST, Drabblecast. In this episode where I critiqued this science fiction story written by a woman, I pointed out how throughout the entire story, the woman actually did not move any of the action. Everything she did in the story, she did as a response to things happening around her. I also talked about this in conjunction with suffering through the three books of the, what do you call it, Hunger Games series, about how Katniss only occasionally was the mover of anything. Most of the three books, she's just walking around responding to what other people want her to do. right? And all of this factors back to how women are always screaming about men have testosterone and men are evil and men always want to fix things. And as I've said a million times, if women were in charge, we'd all be living in motherfucking, you know, grass huts, wondering where our next meal was going to come from, because women don't take initiative. This is why women shouldn't be in charge in the workplace. Women are incapable of taking initiative and making shit happen. Women like being slaves. Women like being told what to do. Women like not having to think. And that is not in itself necessarily a bad thing or a wrong thing, because, again, as we've talked about before, this is what the femistatist cunts can't understand. This is why men win. This is why, if, slow down and fucking enunciate your words. This is why men and women complement each other, right? Women, left to their own devices, won't do a fucking thing. Women, left to their own devices, will leave their 21-year-old cerebral palsy child laying in the dirt in a park so they can go to another state and get a cock stuck into them. That's the closest a fucking feminist cunt can come to taking initiative. Women, left to their own devices, will sit there and just fucking die of starvation because they don't have the fucking gumption to get up and go find some food. Men, left to their own devices, will go completely fucking overboard. That's why when you, oh, the college girl's going away. Well, maybe I'll be able to focus for the last 3 minutes of the podcast then. She's bending over, however. Now, you can't see her from where you're at. Yeah, she's the little blonde. And the hell was I saying? Oh, men. So again, sorry, college girls. Just my brain just shuts the fuck down. I did that. Yeah. All right, so men and women complement each other, right? Men have strengths, men have weaknesses. Women have strengths, women have weaknesses. When you put the two together, both individually, like as a pair bonding, you know, as people dating, married, whatever, or when you put them together in an organization, or when you put them together as a society of some type, as a polis, right? They can complement each other and work together. For all my spewing about feminist cunts, and I know this will be hard for some of you to believe, most of my friends, like the one I went drinking with this weekend, like Randy, most of my friends are women. I love women. Women are fantastic. I hate feminist cunts. And I get this on, oh, I gotta do, what is this? I gotta respond to these YouTube comments from some feminist cunt who left some comments, and one of my listeners tried to argue with her. I've got to talk about those. And he pointed out to her that I say, I do not hate women, I hate feminists. And it's true. I love women. I hate feminists. I hate statists. But I love women. Women are great because women are complementary to who and what and how I am. I think women are fantastic. I just think that 99% of them are fucking stupid, worthless, lazy cunts. I wish there were more good ones. There aren't. It's the reality of the world I live in. Anyway, okay. I'm going to link to this episode. This is Drabblecast number 300. It's a story called Bloodchild. It's written by a black woman. Oh my God. Now, she's a great writer. It was very well written. Yeah, nothing bad to say about that. Here's the deal. Listen to the story. The story basically, God, can I summarize this? All right. Whew. Real quick summary. This is going to be a spoiler. So if you want to listen to it, just, sorry, man, just jump ahead or something. I don't know. Stop listening to this. Go listen to Bloodchild. Then come back and listen to what I say about it, because I'm going to give it away. Here's the summary. The humans come to another planet in a spaceship for colonization. They land there. There are some creatures there that are kind of like big giant centipedes that need to lay their eggs in other animals. Kind of like Alien, right? How it needs a host, so the chestbuster comes out of the host. All right, same concept. Now, all of this is the backstory that's not actually in the story. And so there's a war, and the aliens actually... the humans are on their planet, so the humans are the aliens in this case. So I shouldn't say the aliens win. The indigenous intelligent species wins against the aliens being the humans. And so the aliens, I'm going to call the humans the aliens throughout this, just because it is actually correct. The aliens are put in a preserve, and these indigenous creatures, I can't remember the name of the species. Anyway, the indigenous species keeps the humans around, and they over time integrate their families together, and they more or less live in peace. Although the humans, the aliens, we aliens still have to live on the preserve. We have to obey the laws of the centipedes, and of course the aliens, I almost said humans, I guess I could call them humans. They are still humans, it's just that they're the aliens in this case. The humans, of course, are not allowed to own guns. Of course not. Can't have guns. The centipedes still have to lay their eggs in another species in order for their eggs to hatch. So when they lay the eggs in another species, the eggs grow inside the species as a parasite. And then they eat their way out of their little sack, and then they eat their sack, and then they start eating the host. Well, gee, guess who the centipedes use as the host for their eggs? The humans, of course. Not only that, wait, it gets better. They primarily use male humans. Now, the centipedes, when their babies start to hatch, the centipedes cut the humans open and pull the larva out before they eat their human host, and thus save the human host so that they can be reused for more breeding. Now, the interesting part, all of this, so first of all, we've got, again, a woman author writing about humans being kept as cattle, being kept as slaves, being used for breeding purposes. And of course, it's the men who are being used as for breeding purposes by the indigenous centipedes. After the story's over in the podcast, Norm Sherman, the guy who runs the podcast and everything else, he reads some stuff written by the author. The author is Octavia Butler, in which she says something to this effect. She says that many people say to her, this story is about slavery, and she says it isn't. Now, this is the kind of fucking delusionary world. And by the way, Octavia Butler studied under Harlan Ellison. She learned a great deal from Harlan Ellison. He helped her get published. A while back, I did an entire podcast where I talked about Harlan Ellison and his fucked up beliefs, his fucked up worldview, where he wants to take guns away from everybody for their own good, and all his other shit. So you can see where she gets some of this from. But first of all, she says this story is not about slavery. Now, if keeping humans on a preserve that they're not allowed to leave, telling them they can't own guns, and using them to implant your parasitic eggs in against their will, if that's not slavery, I would love to know what this stupid bitch thinks slavery is. Second of all, in this story, everybody in it is pretty much, I mean, there's nothing they can do about anything that happens around them. It's the centipedes want this. Well, that's what we got to do. Again, the characters just, they don't initiate any action. There's one character, the one character does do some action initiation near the end. He does some shit and it, you know. But of course, in the end, he acquiesces to what the centipede wants. And she also says that she wrote this story because she wanted to write a story about what it would be like for a man to get pregnant. And we can see here the feminist concept of pregnancy. I mean, so in the story, the centipedes, you know, sting the humans with their stinger, and it intoxicates and deadens the human's senses so that the centipede can then stick its reproductive organ into the human's body and implant the eggs, right, by piercing the skin. And then the egg grows inside the human and then starts eating its way out. And I'm sure this is a perfect analogy for how, as a femistatist cunt, Octavia Butler sees a woman getting impregnated by a man, right? The man first intoxifies her with drink and by talking pretty and by buying her stuff. And once she's defenseless and helpless, the man then sticks his organ inside of her forcibly and shoves his seed into her. And then the little parasite baby grows inside of her. Except it's not a baby, right? It's a fucking unviable tissue mass. And so you can see, again, just go listen to this story. And you will see, again, it's everything femistatism is. Humans should be slaves. Humans shouldn't have guns. Humans should be obedient to somebody greater than them, like Obama or Clinton or Hillary. You know, pregnancy is terrible. It's fucking femistatist. Once again, evolution and natural selection. If you're a femistatist cunt, natural selection says you should be dead.